I'm Peter Bonner McNiss, and he is Chris Lang. And welcome to another of these regular property briefings. And a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, once again, it's really good to be here.
You know, I may be wrong, but I suspect most people purchase investments without a lot of forethought. How important is it to have an investment strategy?
Look, with any investments you make, whether it's shares or property or collectibles, you need to know where you're heading. And you need to have a solid foundation upon which to base all of your decisions. And therefore, the obvious answer to the question is yes, and perhaps even more so when it comes to commercial property.
And so, just where should our listeners start?
You see, it all comes down to the choices you make. I mean, sometimes the best-looking property can actually turn out to be the worst real estate investment decision you'll ever make. In essence, investing in commercial property is mainly about the price, the terms, the ongoing return, and being able to add value to your investment along the way. And as such, you need to approach each and every opportunity with a clear strategy and a realistic exit plan. And there are several things to help you in formulating your approach. And maybe let's start with something that you may not have even necessarily thought about. And that is that you need to be an investor, not merely an accumulator of commercial properties. Now, the reason you make investments is to produce a worthwhile profit. So if you end up buying a property that produces little or no growth, you've basically acquired a property instead of making an investment. And that's because you might have bought it on emotional reasons. Now, you can buy your house based on emotion, but when it comes to commercial property, it's pure logic and reason and being satisfied that the property adds up and will grow in value. And that's part of the reason for having a mentor, so that you're able to benefit from that experience. And you quickly discover that mentors can save you from making some very costly mistakes, identify when you've missed any key due diligence items, and connect you with valuable resources and other disciplines that you would otherwise have not had immediate access to.
You said there were several things to consider. What's next?
Well, you also need to understand that every commercial property has a lifetime. One of the biggest errors you can make as an investor is to ignore the fact that you will need to spend some money on the upkeep and renovation of the building if you intend to hold it for any length of time. Now, you recall in previous podcasts, and I think the last one we talked about analysing over a four-year period. Now, the logic and reason of that is that I find circumstances change, people's circumstances, the market changes, there are all sorts of things. So what I encourage my clients to do is to have a mandatory four-year review on the anniversary of when they purchased the property, and they have to make a conscious decision to continue to own the property. If they can't convince themselves of the reasons to continue ownership, the property should be sold. It doesn't mean you have to sell, but there might be logical reasons why there's been a considerable growth occur. Interest rates might be a foreseeable future likely to rise. You haven't reached the peak of the market. It's the timing's perfect to sell. You've just renewed the lease, and there's a new 3, 4, 5 year term. So there could be a whole lot of reasons why it would be a good time to sell the property. And also, you know, the building may need some upgrading. It may require a new roof or a new electrical system. And I mean, every building goes through a renewal phase. So the timing might be that you should sell. However, sometimes you buy a property because it hasn't been well maintained. and you know that there are some expenses. And the secret is to make sure what the work you do in improving the property is seen as an expense, not a capital item. And so what you would do is to engage a firm to give you a preventative maintenance program over a period of time where there are projects to be done. The roof might require to be changed, which you might spread over two financial years, so it's not a complete replacement. But you might enter into a five-year preventative maintenance program where you agree to pay so much per month, and in return, they will progressively, over the life, repair the roof, upgrade the air conditioning system, electrical system, and so forth. Now, this is not, we're talking about maintenance, in the true sense of the word, where it just might need servicing. We're talking about physical upgrade of the property, and structured properly, you can make it tax deductible rather than, as I said, a capital item. So it's worth investigating and something you need to keep in mind.
As I'm sure our listeners appreciate, the commercial property market is extremely large and has a wide-ranging choice of properties. So what's your recommendation to cope with that?
Well, the simple solution here is that you want to focus on one commercial property sector at a time. Especially when you're starting out, you should probably focus on one area of investments, either offices, warehouses, shops. That would be my very much third choice, or whatever it is that you feel most comfortable with. The alternative is you might focus on the geography, either specific local suburbs or maybe strategic purchases in growth areas interstate. If you have an on-the-ground knowledge of that because you live there, or you have consultants that are able to advise you there. And I mean, the interesting thing is that probably 80% of my clients happen to be interstate, but they seem to want to buy property in Melbourne. Now, I don't know, so I say to them, I don't know whether we're Victorian in name and Victorian in nature, but the Melbourne market doesn't seem to reach the heady heights of Brisbane and Perth, but nor does it plumb the depths in Adelaide to a lesser degree. The growth and the income seem to be predictable. In the global financial crisis, the Melbourne market came off a bit, but not nearly as much as the Sydney market, because most of the financial groups have their head offices in Sydney. Melbourne has ANZ head office, and it has BHP head office and some of the larger, but it has a complete spread of the different industries and economic sectors, whereas mining is heavily concentrated in Perth and Brisbane. So they were dramatically affected. So it comes down to just keeping a focus on where you're comfortable, and each deal needs to have your undivided attention. I mean, it's much better to master one aspect or one sector than be an average player over many. I mean, who wants to have average performing properties in their portfolio?
Is there anything else our listeners should be aware of?
Well, perhaps the final thing for today would be to decide whether you or your assets adequately protect it. As with anything in life, messy lawsuits can occasionally occur, and therefore you need to do everything in your power to protect yourself and your investment. You need to ask yourself a couple of questions to determine whether or not you are fully covered. Now, for example, how is your commercial property protected? And I'm talking here legally and insurance-wise. Insurance is a completely different topic by itself, but it's important for you to get proper advice and make sure that all your property assets are fully covered. Now, legally, you can set up a separate purchase vehicle for each property, and you do that so that each investment property is isolated from the other, and in that way, one lawsuit cannot impact upon any of your other investments, and in particular, your family home. need to ask yourself also, what have you got at stake if you lose the lawsuit? And is your personal property, as I said, your home, is that fully isolated as well? I mean, it's no good trying to guess when it comes to answering these questions. You've got to talk to a lawyer to ensure that you are fully protected in the unlikely case that you could be sued. As I say to people, it's never a problem till it's a problem, and then it's a bloody big problem. So the other thing to consider is if you are in a partnership or a syndicate buying a property, make sure you're, when you finance the deal, that you do it with what's called non-recourse borrowings. Now, that means that you aren't personally guaranteeing the loan. There is no personal guarantees. The property is the sole security for the loan. And this gives you two distinct advantages. It allows you to be removed from the loan if the partnership goes sour. And also, if the property, for whatever reason, were to fail, the financier cannot come after you personally. What a lot of people don't realise is, you say, well, I might be guarantor, and so is someone else. But if the other person, they're what are called joint and several guarantees. In other words, you have to look after, be responsible for your own proportion of the loan. But if the other party can't meet their commitment, the financier comes after you. And that's the last thing you want. You want to remain friends with the people that you go into business with. The last thing you want to do is to be looking over your shoulder, wondering or not whether they can cover their commitments as far as the loan's concerned. So protection is important, and it's something you need to really take care of.
Thank you for giving us a very helpful behind-the-scenes strategic view of how to go about purchasing commercial property.
Look, once you understand the rules of the game, buying commercial property is really quite straightforward. Yes, you may need to do a little homework and make sure you get the right advice along the way, but really, it's not all that complicated.
Well, you have certainly helped to make it sound a lot more straightforward. So thank you for doing that.
Well, that's fine, and I'm glad you found it helpful.